buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Bob Dio. Bob on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show for you on this Tuesday, June 6, 2018, coming to you live from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts and the complete show archive available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation anytime during the hour, 790-2040.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
All right, Shelley Fishman with us. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
My week is going terribly, Bill.
How I know. Not that great, but we had a little confusion with our first guest today, ASU economist Dr. Dennis Hoffman, and hopefully he'll call in a few minutes, but that's not a big issue because we're going to talk about the economy anyway with you, Shelley. The market off to kind of a bad start today.
Yeah, kind of a bad start. Kind of. Yeah, the market actually dropped almost 400 points at the opening, and it's now kind of leveled off down about 275. It was down a little bit yesterday as well. Did recover some of the losses from the opening yesterday by the close. But what we're seeing here, Bill, is a reaction in the market to what is probably going to be billed as a trade war with China and a trade war with our European allies and a trade war with Canada and a trade war with Mexico. And I just don't get it.
I don't either. I was hoping you could explain what are the benefits to the United States as far as the Trump administration considers with this trade war?
Well, you'd have to talk to Peter Navarro and the people who are coaching Trump that this is a good way to preserve U.S. jobs. Every economist I've read and everything that I can discern is indicating that these kinds of trade wars are not winnable, that this will essentially destroy the order, the world order that was built up and led by the United States since the end of World War II. And anytime you go blindly into that kind of uncertainty, nobody can accurately predict what the outcome will be. What you and I talked about after the victory in both the Senate and the House and the presidency for the Republicans was that we would be entering into a supply side experiment in this economy that would be interesting to watch, and hopefully that they'd find ways of measuring it and making adjustments as we go along. But this president isn't one for adjustments or detail or anything like that. He's going headlong into what I believe is going to be a disaster for the economy.
And it really isn't just Michael Medved, who is a very conservative talk show host on this radio station on Friday. He was saying that this is a very un-Republican thing to do a trade war.
Oh,
it's big
it's
government,
right,
according to what Michael Medved said. He also said it's going to cost the economy about $2 trillion by the time we're through, and he's worried it's going to wipe out any benefit from the tax cut.
There is a consensus among centrist economists that this could wipe out any benefits, stimulative benefits from the tax cut. I hope that Medved has, you know, a better crystal ball than I do, that he can put a number on what the cost to the economy, and then you extrapolate from that number to show what the cost in American jobs would be. But clearly, this is uncharted territory. It scares the hell out of me, quite frankly. And as an investor and as an investment advisor, it is scaring the heck out of me and my clients.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that we don't really understand, of course, is how equities and bonds will react, and if they will react normally, or if they will in essence kind of flip. And we're beginning to see the long-term curve and the short-term curve getting very perilously close to each other. That is usually the sign of an oncoming recession. Now, the economy otherwise is not showing any signs of a recession, and we know that economic policy takes, you know, very often a year, two or three to work itself through the system so that the real effects of that policy don't become clear immediately. So I don't know what the result of this is going to be. I am dismayed because I think that the kinds of trade policies that have been supported by both Democrats and Republicans more or less for the past 30 or 40 years have made a lot of people around the world and a lot of people in this country very, very rich.
Shelley, would you mind if we bring in Dennis Hoffman?
By all means, let's do that.
Dennis Hoffman, the director at the Seidman Research Institute up at ASU. He is also a full economics professor at ASU and is on the Dean's Council of 100 Distinguished Scholars. Professor Hoffman, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well today. Thank you.
Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, is with me in studio, and we've been talking about trade wars. Do you see any benefit coming out of this trade war that we're involved with right now with China and other countries?
Well, our strategy over the last several decades, of course, has been very much lead by example, and that means low tariffs where possible, even in when we're dealing with countries that do impose tariffs. President Trump's strategy is, of course, very, very different. And it runs the risk of creating situations, I believe, in international trade that will leave long-lasting negative imprints. His strategy, I believe, is very clear, and that is, shoot some missiles, if you would, in the form of tariffs across the bows of the decks and hope you get other countries to respond by reducing their trade barriers. The challenge with that strategy is it's more likely to just simply incite and then entrench other countries. So I'm concerned about it. I think the vast majority of the profession is concerned about the impacts, the adverse impacts of trade and trade wars. And they manifest themselves, frankly, far more than hurting our exporters. That seems to get all the attention. But the cost of products that face tariffs imposed by other countries is going to creep into our economy in very, very many ways. President Trump's worried about the steel and aluminum manufacturers here. I'm far more worried about those companies in manufacturing that use steel and aluminum as inputs. I think you're going to lose far more jobs than you gain.
Professor, this is Shelley Fishman. I was actually going to ask you a question about inflation generally, and of course you raised the issue in terms of the prices of certain goods and services, but how do you think this might change the inflation picture and thus change the policy of the Fed over the next five or six quarters?
Well, it's very complex because it does exacerbate inflation in many ways. We are increasingly moving toward an inflationary environment as we're certainly at full employment. We've imposed a very positive expansionary fiscal policy on the entire economy at this point. And we've done so when the labor market's very tight. So that's going to be inflationary. Now, you contrast that, though, with what's going on, say, in some of our agricultural markets in the agricultural sector. Because of the threat of tariffs, the price of corn and soybeans has been plummeting. Even milk, for example, has had some challenges. So, the the Midwest part of the country, the parts of the country that are heavily dependent upon agricultural exports, are going to struggle, and that will be a headwind for the economy. So sorting out exactly how all of this unfolds is a real challenge, I think, for us now. So many things are going right in the economy today. It's just unfortunate that we are engaging in, I think, a very risky policy towards trade.
All right, Dr. Hoffman, I want to quickly ask you about Arizona because I know you have another meeting you have to get to. Give us your overall mid-year assessment of the Arizona economy.
Well, the Arizona economy is doing very, very well. And I spend a lot of time not only looking at the Arizona economy, but the Arizona fiscal situation with respect to the general fund budget. General fund policymakers, our legislature, are going to find themselves with substantially more revenue in the coffers this spring than they had planned on. Revenues really improved through the winter. They continued to improve this spring. We're trying to digest the impact on Arizona tax collections of the change in the federal tax law, and of course that's complex. But right now, all signs are for positive revenue flows this spring and for the next, I would say, at least two fiscal years. The jury's a bit out after that because I do believe that this is a little bit of windfall revenue coming from very good capital gains earnings and, as I said, the downstream impacts of changes in the federal tax code. Oh. But it's a very, very bright picture in Arizona, both on the economy, jobs, and in terms of general fund revenues.
Dennis Hoffman, thank you very much. I know you've got to run. Shelley, you stick around. We'll take our break right here. Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being with you today.
Thank you very much. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Shelley, have you had one of those Danish Kringles yet?
I have not.
You like pastries, don't you?
I do. Oh, too much.
Yeah. It can maybe be a little bit caloric, but it tastes so good. Mona's on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Check it out right now. They're open for lunch. Be a great place to go get a sandwich on that wonderful bread that came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago.
Now that I could get into.
The bread. All the breads at Mona's are fabulous. Steve and his team of bakers get up very early to make sure you're going to have your fresh bread. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link not only to Mona's Danish Bakery, but to all of our fine sponsors here on the program. We'll be back with Shelley Fishman right after this.
With a little humor and whimsy, Tohono O'Toole is honoring the environmental significance of native bees during National Pollinator Week with their Adopt a Bee campaign. With your adoption, you'll receive an exclusive invite to their pollinator party on Friday, June 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. Meet your bee and enjoy the Garden Bistro's inventive food creations using bee pollen and honeycomb, and try the regional honey bar by Dos Manos Apiaris. Join them on Friday, June 22nd for the pollinator party. For more information, visit tohonoochul.org.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday during the noon hour for a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Also, Sam Kleiner talks about his acclaimed new book, The Flying Tigers. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI and always on buckmastershow.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and Shelley Fishman is with me. And Shelley, we started the show off with Dr. Dennis Hoffman up at ASU, and he pretty much concurred with what we were saying before he joined us on the live line about trade wars.
He's a little more careful with his.
He is. He's not a big fan of him, to say the least. And he's worried, I think, about what's going on, what this is going to mean. He talked a little bit about the Arizona economy, real strong right now. Didn't get a chance to ask him about Southern Arizona.
Well, and that's always potentially a different answer, even though we try to. We try to show from year to year that the Southern Arizona economy, especially down here in the Tucson area, is doing well and doing better than it has in the past. But we just have some headwinds to this economy down here that make it awfully tough to break out of this kind of small town thing that we do and really grow in such a way that it feels palpable, you know, to the people who live here. And we've had tremendous success with bringing companies in, and certainly the modern streetcar has created a corridor of success from the U of A to downtown. But there's still this problem with the rate of pay of people down here. There's still a tremendous gap between the haves and the have-nots.
I think 1 in 4 people in this community live in what is considered poverty.
Yeah. And we've got to figure out how to fix that problem. We also continue to have a brain drain out of here to Phoenix and eventually to other states. So we have our own separate challenges, even though the state seems to be doing well. We have our own separate set of challenges down here in Southern Arizona that a lot of smart people and good people have been working on for a very long time.
Last week you were saying we had a very important week ahead of us. How did it all turn out?
Well, yeah, thank you for remembering that. It was probably one of the most crucial weeks, and just in terms of events. It started off with the Korean summit. Then we had the Fed Open Market Committee announcing a rate increase, but more importantly, coming back and saying, you know, instead of maybe one more, there could be two more this year. Market shrugged it off, which was very interesting because the markets usually don't shrug off rate increases. Then the European Central Bank came back with a report that said they were going to begin to slow down on the stimulus that they were providing into the European economy. They didn't back off as much as people thought they would, but there was still some withdrawal from that kind of stimulus. And the markets, guess what, shrugged it off.
Mm-hmm.
We had the announcement of tariffs and the beginnings of this trade war, the implication. This just happened the weekend before this past weekend. We had the conference up in Quebec, and the disconnect between our president and our country and the other members of the G7, and the market shrugged it off. The week, as it turned out, was pretty much flat. Mm-hmm. NASDAQ improved a little bit. Everything else was pretty much flat. So this impactful week that should have really reverberated through markets was a nothing burger.
Nothing burger. Put cheese on that. No, it's a nothing burger.
Yeah. I mean, we had Theresa May survive a vote in the House of Commons that could have brought down her government and buy a couple of more months of negotiations. We had Angela Merkel pull the government together, even though there was some talk that her part of the alliance that she has formed with the second most conservative party in Germany, down in Bavaria, that they threatened to actually begin to implement some anti-immigrant policies down in the state of Bavaria on their own without using the federal government. So there were things that could have really upset the German government, which is the largest economy in Europe. But, you know, the markets just shrugged it off. Then OPEC has a meeting next week, but they leaked out some information about whether they have been successful in getting prices up and getting their member countries and those countries that follow their lead that aren't members of OPEC to bring prices up, that they weren't very successful with that. And yet, guess what? The market shrugged it off. And I think it was this morning, maybe it was yesterday, we had a report that U.S. petroleum production is at its highest level ever. I'm going to get this number wrong, but something like 10.7 million barrels a day.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's never been that high.
Richard has called us. Let's get Richard on the air. He called at 790-2040. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Bill. Shelley, you know, oil production is up, Shelley, even though drilling is down. Our reserves are enormous. We've been tremendously successful back in the oil patch and oil space in production. But as far as the trade war is concerned, there's only one person that's wanting the trade war, and that is Donald Trump.
I agree with that, Richard. But can you fathom why?
Yes, he's found a way to terrorize the economies of the world to be the center of attention. You know, he and Bannon hooked on that book called The Fourth Turning.
Yes.
Possibly they want to shake the economy down to crisis level, where Trump believes that we will rally behind him and make him the great leader, dictator of our country. It's crazy. Mm. But, you know, the problem we have now is this weak, weak Congress we have. They have ceded much too much power to the president over the years. It's shocking that any one man has this kind of power to do these tariffs alone.
All right,
Richard.
Thank
thanks for your comment.
Congress people like Martha McSally or Kirkpatrick.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Richard, whether I agree with you or not, and whether Bill agrees with you or not, we're trying to keep this segment on the economy.
Yeah, we're trying
and,
to.
And for that reason, what I'd like to do is go back to what you started your comments with, which is this whole question of what could be, you know, you talk about Steve Bannon, Steve Miller, Peter Navarro. These are not stupid people, and they're not particularly crazy people. They have thought through this strategy in whatever methodology they use to analyze the outcomes that they're looking for. I think it's safe to say that none of them wants to consciously destroy this country. And this country's hegemony over the economy of the world. We have a big threat from China and China challenging us. But what is so important that we try to do as investors and as economy people who are interested in the economy is try to figure out what the impacts of these kinds of policies might be so that we can, in fact, adjust our own personal investments and our own personal opinions around things that are going to happen over which we right now have no direct control.
All right, Shelley, we are out of time. Ingrid, I'm sorry I could not get to your call right now, but her comment was that Trump is doing a good job. And she had a different opinion than Richard. But that's fine. That's what talk radio is supposed to be about, different opinions. Shelley Fishman, thank you very much for being with us today.
Bill, try to have as good a week as you can.
Oh, I will try. Try to have the remainder of this day be a great day. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay. There's at least 24 places listed, all great accommodations, and the many activities and recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, including the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is a great place that everybody should see. It should be on your regional bucket list for sure to see the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and also should be on your regional bucket list right here in Tucson is Tohono O'Chul Park. Michelle Armstrong in studio with me now. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing good. Trying to stay cool.
Yeah, and it's going to be a little bit toasty by the end of the week, but that might trigger, hopefully, the monsoon or the summer thunderstorms. And we were blessed with a 24-hour nice soaking rain. Wasn't that wonderful?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. I'm sure the gardens appreciated it greatly.
I know. Things were looking so stressed. I know in my garden, and I'm sure that the wonderful gardens up there at Tohono O'Chul, all the plants really loved it. You've got the Adopt a Bee and the pollinators activities coming up.
Oh, yeah, we're really excited. This is our third annual campaign where we host Adopt a Bee, and it culminates with our pollinator party this Friday. So anybody who adopts a bee gets into the party for free. You can also adopt a bee at the door, which is essentially a cover charge. A cactus bee is $5, and it goes up from there. So we have a blue mason orchard for $20, we have a leaf cutter for $55, and a carpenter bee for $100, and each has different perks and different levels, and it's just a fun way to adopt a name a bee and keep in mind how important pollinators are, specifically native bees are, to our environment in our gardens and what they do to help, you know, sustain our food economy.
What are the bees in danger? We've been hearing all these varying reports. Pollinators, of course, are so important overall.
Yeah, bees in general, I think there's a difference between a honeybee, obviously, and a native bee. And we use that as an educational component to say that not all bees are honeybees. And, you know, the native bees really don't sting you. They're solitary. They don't create honey. They don't live in hives. They don't Africanize. So it's just the opportunity to educate people about how important they are. So when you see them in your yard, it's an opportunity for them to continue to not only pollinate your plants that are not food producing, but that when, you know, they're out and about, they do produce other or pollinate other plants that are food sustainable.
How about the pollinator, the party that gets underway when?
Oh, it's 6 to 8.
Okay.
And what's really nice, we have some opportunities there for a mead tasting. We have the Garden Bistro, who's going to be doing some molecular gastronomy with honey. They do some really fun stuff like honey caviar, and just kind of open your eyes to different honey. True Love Honey will have a regional tasting bar. We will have our giant 5-foot anatomically correct cactus bee that people can sit on and have their photo taken, underwritten by the wonderful TEP. We also have some activities like build your own antennae and build a native bee condo. So it's just a good opportunity to check out the gardens once it's cooled off, because it's from 6 to 8, which is nice. It's family friendly, all ages event. We are just right now hoping that it does not coincide with Bloom Night, which looks like, and this is not gone out to the public yet, so you guys are the first to know.
Tell me.
It may be this weekend.
Really?
Yes.
That is at least a month earlier than last year.
Oh, absolutely. And you can attribute it directly to the rain that happened over the weekend.
Now, for folks that don't know, we're talking about the Queen of the Night. And these are the blooms that just have kind of one night, right?
Oh, correct. Yeah. So
tell us a little
goes
bit about
out.
This particular species.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the Pineocereus greggii, which is a night blooming cereus. And Lee goes out every week now, starting mid-May, and looks at the flowers, checks the progress, measures them, identifies the plants that are either choosing to grow more of their stalks or ones that are growing blossoms that will bloom for our bloom night. And we actually have the world's largest private collection of these flowers. So
how many plants do you think you have?
Oh, man. I don't know how many plants, but I know we can have upwards of 100 blooms in one night.
Uh-huh.
And we used to have some more on the South Trail, but over the years, the pack rats have decided that they want to chew on that. So we keep it to the North Trail. But over time, Lee's looking to kind of go back into the South Trail and reinforce those plants and make sure that they're nice and healthy so that we can actually extend it to the South Trail.
So when you do have this big night, mm-hmm. The word is put out through the media, right?
Correct. Yeah. And we also, if you want to know, through our email newsletter, mm-hmm. we send out a Bloom Night is Tonight. So go to our website and sign up for our Bloom Watch newsletter. Mm-hmm. I will be sending a new Bloom Watch blog out today where it kind of articles where Lee's looking at it could be this weekend, anywhere from Friday through Monday, but he'll keep us posted. And then you'll get the notice as soon as I send the send button, mm-hmm. but he'll usually call it the day of. So that's when it'll happen. He'll say, today's the day, and I will send out the newsletter. So you might know around noon or 2 o'clock the day of.
And Lee is who? Lee who?
Lee Mason is our Director of General Services, and he's the curator of all of our gardens, mm-hmm. and specifically the Queen of the Night plant. So he's been doing this for 20 years. Mm-hmm. He can call it, and what's really great is over time he's been able to give us a bigger window of time, such as it could happen this weekend, because in the past it's today, and you've had no warning. So.
Right.
We've had to mobilize.
Well, I just find that fascinating that he's able to, well, I guess through his expertise, to be able to kind of predict it. And they all bloom at one time. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's noticed is they get to a certain size in millimeters, and then that's when they start they breakthrough stall status is what he calls mm-hmm. it, and they're gonna get ready to bloom in a few days. So that's why he every year takes measurements and he checks out each plant and he culls all that data so that he can make a more informed decision.
Probably talks to the plants too and
say,
boy, you're gonna be a beautiful, beautiful bloom.
Absolutely, yeah.
So much going on at Tohono O'Chul with the Adopt-A-Bee, we got the Queen of the Night. And the two may coincide. We don't know yet. And, of course, Monsoon Madness is one of your big events.
Yes, we're really excited. That will be July 27th and 28th, and that's a nice plant sale where instead of just buying plants from us, you actually get to meet the vendors and buy directly from the vendors. So it's the opportunity to get some unique plants, to get exact details from the vendor on how to care for them or ask specific questions for, you know, plants you may have at home or bring pictures of plants that you have currently and you want to get some expertise on.
And I think it is also good to mention Tohono O'Chul, kind of give us the overview because there are always new people to our community and may not know about your property. So give us the 30,000 foot level view of Tohono O'Chul.
Oh, fantastic. We are a nonprofit located at Ida and Oracle. We have a garden bistro as well as museum shops and an exhibit house that has rotating art exhibits. We were started in 1985 by a gift by Dick and Jean Wilson of that land. So what's really nice is it's not just a facility, that there's a history behind it of a couple that care passionately for the Sonoran Desert and maintaining that little what we call urban oasis in the hubbub of the Ida and Oracle intersection. And from 1985, we flourished into offering classes and educational opportunities, events such as Bloom Night, Holiday Nights, where we put over 1 million twinkle lights throughout the gardens for thousands of families to
that
come and take advantage of.
That must be a huge undertaking.
Oh, they start October, and they take them down in February. So what's really nice is people who have private events like weddings or corporate events during that time benefit from those beautiful, just romantic lights that are among the gardens.
Your food is very good there. there.
Oh, yes. The Garden Bistro does a fantastic job of also working with our team in the Ethnobotanical Garden. So what they plant, they use in their menu. So they're working, you know, two or three seasons in advance to see what they're going to be putting on their menu. Something they had last summer, which was fantastic, which was a Hopi yellow watermelon. It was the sweetest watermelon I'd ever tasted, and it was so beautiful
Never
in that
heard
yellow.
Of that. Sounds delicious.
Yeah, so they really work to plant indigenous plants and use those special plants in menu items so people get to taste things that they don't have access to anywhere else.
Michelle Armstrong from Tohono O'Chul. So much going on out there. So again, let's give kind of a recap of the three kind of signature events that you have this summer.
Yeah, so we have the Adopt-A-Bee going on now through, I would say, Friday for the pollinator party. So if you want to come to the pollinator party, go online and adopt a bee. We also have Bloom Night, which potentially could happen anywhere this weekend from Friday to Monday. And that's a really great event. It's $5 to get in. So it's super cheap. It's a great Tucson iconic thing to do in the summertime. And then lastly, towards the end of summer, the end of July, the 27th and 28th, we have our Monsoon Madness Plant Sale, where you can find some unique, different plants that you can't find anywhere else.
And you have the art gallery?
Oh, yeah. And so during Bloom Night, we actually have our exhibits curator, James, has done a special Queen of the Night exhibit. So that'll be open during Bloom Night.
Oh, very cool. So a lot going on at Tohono O'Chul. Michelle Armstrong, always a pleasure. Have a great summer, Michelle. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Buckmaster Show, where it is exact, well, give or take a few seconds, 12:45. Robert Hendricks, Bob Hendricks, will be with us. He's the Buckmaster Show contributor on education right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers.
Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I want to tell our friends about Green Things. Green Things, our favorite nursery over on River Road. And Green Things has teamed up with Zocalo. Zocalo, for years, have been near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. All that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe will be going over to their new home at Green Things. And all of that's going to be happening very soon, but still a great opportunity for those that want to purchase merchandise from Zocalo. It's at a greatly reduced rate over at 2924 East Broadway near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. Let's welcome now our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona. He is the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. He's with us on the live line right now. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
All this talk about Red for Ed and more money for teachers, I think one thing that perhaps got lost is does more spending on education translate to higher achievement? That's kind of a bottom line question that really wasn't asked that much.
Right, and the answer from my perspective, Bill, is it depends. You know, we've got this Invest in Education initiative coming up as a possible ballot measure. And I think we will know shortly after the deadline on July 5th whether they're going to have the necessary 150,000 signatures that they need. But I'm going to predict that they do. And if that's the case, we're going to have a ballot measure which is going to put, if successful, another $690 million in the public education. So back to your question, if we did have this money, is it going to help? Is it going to solve the problems? And, you know, a lot of critics would say no. And I would say that some of those critics are not entirely wrong, because there is not a lot of information or data that suggests that more money will improve student achievement. I mean, this topic has been studied to death and for decades, and there are some incidental data that suggests that if you focus on specific populations of students, that you could improve. But I'd like to take like a little different perspective on that. For one thing, the typical metric that they use to gauge success are graduation rates.
Right.
And to me, that's a very poor statistic of measurement, because it's a locally based decision as to whether students graduate or not. So we have no universal control of what that rate really means. And so to use that as an argument to say, graduation rates really have an impact on whether we spend money or not spend money, is probably not the best argument. I think I would rather look at another perspective, and that is that if you look at how money is spent, it's more a standpoint of how do you use that money strategically. In other words, you know, just throwing money at the problem, you know, like throwing pixie dust, is, you know, is no magical solution. But if you do spend the money, and you have the money to spend, where would it be best to spend it? And that's where the research, I think, does inform us a little bit better. And one area that strategically you could spend money is on preschool students. Preschool students, particularly the students that are in that population that are at risk. We know from the research that children do make greater gains in kindergarten, and particularly the dual language learners and those who have lower English proficiency. We know that if we spend money on those students, that we're going to see better results. And we also know through a number of studies, and one that I'll cite is one that was done at Northwestern University, that money makes the greatest difference when it reaches the classroom. And we've even heard conservative legislators say that, you know, the money has to go to the classroom. So my hope would be, if we're going to have this money and it's going to make a difference, that we target that money, first of all, to reach the students who need it the most, and that our targeted resources help disadvantaged students, and there are a growing number in the state of Arizona, and that the money be used on a consistent basis. In other words, it's not going to be particularly effective if you just throw money at a particular issue or a topic or a concern, and it doesn't have a lasting impact. It can't be a quick fix. We know the evidence says that it won't work if you're not continually measuring what you're doing and continue to support it financially if it is successful. Again, the money needs to stay in the classroom. And so we need to spend money on improving curriculum. We need to keep our class sizes manageable, which has been an issue for us in Arizona. We need to focus on teacher training, and a teacher training that really focuses on helping improve student learning. We need to do something about our salaries. We've already addressed that to a certain extent. But we are not out of the woods in that area at all, Bill. I mean, we are still in the bottom third of teacher salaries across the country. And not only is that a morale issue, but a major issue when I talk to superintendents around the state is that there is a huge amount of teacher turnover. And part of that turnover is because of lower salaries. And when you have turnover, you don't have continuity, and without continuity, it's going to have an impact on student learning. And then lastly, we really need to have adequate equipment and materials and supplies. And we've heard that as an argument from teachers for a long time, is that, you know, they're using their own money to buy supplies. But more importantly, you know, we're in a technological age where we need to be able to provide adequate equipment and support for that equipment to help students learn in this century. And then lastly, I think we need to look at what are we defining as success, because if we're not going to use graduation rates, we're not going to simply use test scores, what other things are we going to do to determine that students are successful? And I would postulate that long-term success looks at, you know, students who are able to be successful in the workforce, giving them skills, not simply measured by student achievement results, but what are they able to do? Are they able to accomplish higher-level thinking tasks? Are they able to use technology? Are they able to relate with each other? Are they able to communicate in writing and orally? All those things are really important. And I also noted that in a recent editorial that was critical of this money, that this writer did talk about the fact that we need to find better ways to engage parents, because ultimately, well, that's not a financial issue. It does impact student learning and student mental health support, because if students are not in a mental state of support, they're not going to learn, and that achievement is going to suffer.
Dr. Bob Hendricks, thank you very much. Out of time. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Nice talking with you,
Nice
Bill.
Talking
Bye.
With you. Robert Hendricks, our contributor on education. It's now 12:59. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw from 4 to 6, Wake Up Tucson in the morning from 6 to 9, and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. On behalf of my fine engineer producer on the other side of the glass, Bob Dio, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening, and we'll be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow.